This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, Tink, we get a chance to show just how much we know about hockey. I mean, nobody knows hockey like this show. Nobody. Nobody knows hockey like that. Nobody. And we're joined now by the winning coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, John Cooper. And if there's one thing we know about hockey, it's that the celebration, it takes weeks, if not months, to end. So, Coach, first of all, congrats on the championship. Where is the cup right now, John? Who's got the cup? Where is it?
Oh, thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah, of course.
A little hockey in here. You know what? Actually, the cup was at a community ice rink last night. There was a whole bunch of hockey teams were with it. But where it's exactly today, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Does it ever attract a crowd? It's one thing winning it, but to see the look on people's faces when they actually get in front of it is something special. So it's pretty cool to be around it.
Yeah, no, it's got to be definitely cool. And I learn about hockey when the head coach of the winning team puts on a UVA hat as inspiration from UVA's, 16-1 loss, and then goes and wins the championship. They're still reigning, by the way, because there was no NCAA tournament. But you guys did something very similar, and I listened to your post-game press conference, and I know the emotion that it had to – really, not emotion, but the leadership it took to get through something like that, and then to go through an entire postseason in a bubble. I mean, you were there for, what, 80 days, 80-something days? And tell us about the journey once the postseason started for you guys.
Yeah, it was a grind. And you know the Virginia well, and it was it's funny – when we lost to Columbus last year, we got swept, and people that don't know, we had a record-setting year, and we won 62 games, and people thought, it was going to be the year for us, and we didn't even win a playoff game. We were out in four, and is that just demoralizing? And it's funny to sit here today and say, oh, yeah, look how it all worked out, but you don't feel that way during the year. And the Virginia team was a lot of inspiration because how we felt, they must have felt the exact same thing, being the first team to, lose to a 16 seed, and so something we hung on to and brought it in with the players. It was funny, Nikita Kucherov, who is a star player in the league, and he's a Russian, and he asked me, well, we're in the post game celebration, about that hat, and he's like, Coach, where's that hat, and. Some of these things you do with players, you never think, you don't know if they're holding on to it or if it's part of them, but it's one of the first things he thought of. So it was awesome, and it's kind of a little connection we have with them. But, that the whole process was surreal, just as that pause went on and not knowing when we were going to restart. And I think it was like 4 months before, in between when we played. But it was, I think it really helped our team. And we made so many trades, and we brought in a bunch of new players. We were kind of trying to find ourselves, and that 4 months off, I think, gave our team a little time to glue, a little time to rest, and we came back to training camp, like I said, with a mission that we weren't going to let people down this year, and I mean, the boys bought in, and they played as well as I've ever, by the end of the playoffs, like the team was practically coaching themselves. They were on a mission, those players.
Stop. You're selling yourself short. We can't let that fly. They weren't coaching themselves. You're as cerebral as it gets. But I do want to, and we're talking to John Cooper, Lightning head coach, very humble, and it's nice of you to say that. But we all know that it's not true because you have to coach. I mean, hockey, like the NFL, baseball maybe to an extent, you kind of write the lineup and you sit back and you hope you get the 3-run bomb and maybe manage the bullpen. But hockey, you're mixing and matching lines. You're doing a lot more than you let on. But I am curious, John. Because the knock, rightly or wrongly, I know you heard it, and I know it was written about for sure, especially who you lost to last year, whose personality and temperament is the complete opposite of yours. Torts is a nut job. We had him with the Rangers. He's loud. He's fiery. He's boisterous. He's bold. He's nuts. And he's not afraid to use that press conference as a weapon a lot of times. When you lose to him and your style is so much more inward, if you will, and cerebral and calculating, the criticisms that you felt that were not about at your team, that were directed at John Cooper, maybe the motivator, how did you process that? I mean, because you can't change your personality, and you didn't, but I know you heard that stuff. How did that affect you?
Yeah, it's tough because, like, the reason you get to a certain point, I believe, is, like, you believe in what you're doing. You have to have a little bit of an ego along the way to handle, you know, all the things you have to do when you coach pro sports. You get to the position, though, especially when you have a team that people are talking about as being a championship-caliber team. We've been close in years past, 2015 finals, two conference finals after that. But you get there, and then you lose to a Columbus team that, to be honest, like, they play better than us. And we weren't, you know, we came in, you know, pretty arrogant. Like I always said, we had a little offensive arrogance to us, and they had a game plan and they beat us. And, you know, Torts, that's why he's a good coach. Like Torts has survived this long because he's good at his job. And he has a different personality. There's no doubt. He's going to hate me for saying this, but what he says outside of this is different than what he is in how I've been with him, because he's a super nice guy, but he's a motivator, and he does a heck of a job with his teams. And it's ironic how we ended up playing them in the first round this year, because it wasn't set up that way before pre-pause for us to play him, but we had to play him. And I think, if you remember, we played our very first playoff game, went to five overtimes. And if we don't win that game, who knows where we go. But we won that game, and I think it was like a huge weight off our shoulders and kind of propelled us from there.
Yeah, no, you know, I know that you stopped by Donatella's in Tampa with the cup, and you were sitting down with my brother for a little bit, and he told me a little background. He said, you were a defense attorney, man. And I was like, wait, how do you make that transition to what you're doing now? But you did, and defense was a big part of the success. Victor Hedman, obviously, being the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. But, you know, talk about your players, and your goalie was unbelievable, especially in the closeout game. Your personality, while it's cerebral, I don't think is passive.
Yeah, it's the one thing is, if you're to win, yes, the coaches have to help and show guidance. Yes, of course we do. But you need to have good players. And if you want to win a championship, your best players have to be your best players. And in this playoffs, they were. And our goalie, who got, you know, was 0-4 last year, came in with this renewed confidence and was on a mission, and he was the only goalie in the playoffs to play every single minute. You know, you try and pull him out for a break, and he's like, nope, keep me in there. Victor Hedman, you know, he wins the Conn Smythe Trophy for MVP. And then you look at, you know, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, go down the list. Like, those are the guys that led the way. And so when your best guys are your best guys, it sure makes it easier to coach. And then even, you know, Steven Stamkos, who was injured the whole time. Gosh, came in for 3 minutes of hockey and the entire thing and scored a goal. So when the big boys are rolling, it sure makes it a little better for you.
So that's John Cooper, the Lightning head coach. They have hoisted the cup. And I tell you, how about the city of Tampa right now, coach? You guys win the cup. The Rays are a win away from the World Series. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's playing for the Bucks. Tampa's got to be on fire. It's got to be popping.
Yeah, it's been great. Of course, you know, when all these great things are happening, and it's just been unfortunate that, you know, fans haven't been able to been in the building to watch some of this stuff happen. But it was phenomenal when we won, and we get a lot of support. There's a lot of synergy between the three teams in town, and you know, the guys brought the Stanley Cup to the Bucks game a few weeks ago, and awesome experience. And then and now the Rays are one game, and we've had a lot of contact with the Rays, and unbelievable guys. Kevin Cash is a man. He's a super, super guy. And so we're all pulling for him. And hopefully, you know, this has been the year of Tampa sports.
Yeah, no, it feels like it is heading that way for whatever reason. I think it's a good thing. But let's back up to the bubble. I mean, you guys were in Canada for a long time The NBA obviously successfully concluded their bubble. The NHL did it as well. I don't think you guys had any positive tests either. Maybe you did, but I don't remember hearing anything significant. We know the NBA didn't. Next season is not that far away. How do you see the bubble, and more importantly, what's happening when hockey resumes relatively soon?
Yeah, that question's way above my pay grade. I don't know what we're going to do. But to be honest, the bubble experience, I can't believe how they threw it together like they did. And I'm not going to lie, it was tough. You know, we were gone 65 days, and when you put yourself in a hotel and there's not a lot of outdoor time, and, you know, it's a little difficult. You're not going to spend time and go through these ups and downs with your family members. Thank goodness for FaceTime. That was big in today's day and age. But I'll tell you, brought our team together. It's an experience I will never forget. And yes, because we won the Stanley Cup, of course, it makes it easier. But it's weird when you're in a hotel room and, you know, there's eight other teams there and there's nobody else. And you're going to your meal and you're walking by the teams you're playing against. And it was I would talk to people I never normally would talk to. And so just there were really cool experiences to come out of it. I don't know if pro sports can continue doing this bubble thing for year after year after year.
I hope not.
But, Ugh. Yeah, right? It's because it's a fan's game. Like,
yeah. That's
why a lot of players play. They want to play in front of the fans. It's they're part of that experience. And so hopefully this doesn't have to go on any further. I think it might have to for the time being. But what the NHL did and the NBA did and kind of what and Major League Baseball is doing is they're making the experience pretty cool on TV, and hopefully this is the only year it happens, but kudos on the leagues for plugging through and making it safe.
It looked pretty sweet on TV, like just the way the arena and the rink looked. It looked pretty, like visually it was pretty good. And listen, John, I think you're right. When you charge out of a tunnel in front of 20,000 people, whether it's at home at a swing game or on the road in a swing game, the 20,000 cheers or the 20,000 boos, that's a validation of making it to a level that 99.9% of us can only dream of making. Otherwise, I could just play in the street with my buddies like I did growing up when I pretended I was Brian Trottier and Dennis Potvin and Mike Botsy, and I'm getting the same response. I'm getting crickets. I mean, it's got to be tough. But I did want to follow up. The Tiki addressed the way the NBA season finished, and you say it's above your pay grade. I get that. But the NBA season going to start in 2021, and there's now residue, in all likelihood, 2021. Now there's residue from an elongated, strange season bleeding into months that it never bleeds into. How do you preemptively, whenever you guys get back on the ice for the next season, preemptively, you know, coach around fatigue and injuries? Because the body clocks are set up differently now. How do you handle that?
So I completely agree with you, and it's weird today. So it's different for us in Tampa because normally when the Stanley Cup's awarded, it's June, you're in summer, and the weather's really nice. Well, the weather's, like, super nice. It was, like, 88 degrees and beautiful. So we're not really experiencing what other people do. But, you know, the life is starting. The fall is starting. Like, college football is going. All these fall sports are running and trying to get through this. And for us, it's the uncertainty again. There's no set date. When does training camp start? How long is it going to be? You know, you work your load compared to that, and especially when you play as deep as we did, you know, guys need rest. Like, the biggest thing is to rest their bodies and rest their minds. And, you know, I look at some other teams that have – their last game was March 10th.
March, yeah.
And, they weren't in the bubble. They haven't played. And so my assumption is they got to be chomping at the bit to get out there and play. And like, let's get this season started. So it's going to be – different wave for everybody. And so, you know, as difficult as it was to come back and play in this environment, I think next year is going to be difficult because it's a different playing field for everybody. So really interesting to see how this plays out. Like I said, we don't know what's going to go on. I think you're right about 2021, but is it going to be January 2021 or March, or what's it going to be? And I think it's going to take a couple seasons here to get us back on our season clock.
I know it's not your call here, John. You've got a coach, and you've got to deal with the circumstances, and every other coach and player has to do that. But whenever Bettman and you know and his and whomever makes the decision to come, Would you, if you had your choice, John, would you rather have like immediate, you know what, we're not even going to try an 82-game season. We're going to slice off 60, not 60, we're going to slice off 20 games right away, make it a 62 or 60-game season, and just push it back longer and build in more of a cushion because we know that the corona numbers are spiking again? Or would you rather be maybe more rigid and really try to force in the 82 games? What's more appealing to you?
So this would just be my feeling only and just, you know, answering question here. Like it probably doesn't make entire sense to do the 82 games because then we'd have no choice but to go back and through the summer again. And I don't know if the summer is entirely our focal point to play in. You know, it's not really hockey season. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if it's possible and safe for everybody involved to get it the season in, kind of set us back in the clock so it ends maybe if it can't end in June, like end it in early July or something like that. I think that would make sense. So again, that would probably cut a couple games off the regular season. But I can't sit here and say for sure. The big thing would be, you know, hopefully at one point you get to play in front of fans. So, you know, not playing in front of empty buildings and slowly maybe it's social distancing, but work to more fans. That would be like best case scenario. But again, as you said, things are spiking, so it's hard to, you know, even think about that until there's more, like, safety precautions going forward.
All right, John, we're going to let you go here. But when the Stanley Cup was risen, how did it feel in your hands? And who was the first person you reached out to outside of the bubble once you finally found your cell phone or at least had a free moment to pick it up?
Yeah. So there's a commercial that the NHL does, and it's called No Words, and it's like they hand it, it's like little video clips of they hand it to the captain or hand it to a player, and the reporter says, "How do you feel?" Mm-hmm. They kind of stutter and don't say anything, and it's like, you know, 20 montage clips of that. That's probably the best way I can explain it.
Yeah.
Like you have no words, you're just choked. Like everything is so bottled, you have no idea what to say. And now I watch that commercial, I'm like, it's so apropos of what how we feel or how I felt anyway. But on the ice, I don't have my cell phone with me on the bench, so somebody went and got it for me, and I got to FaceTime my family, and my son answered, he's 10, and like that's like the tear jerking moment. So there's like, I think somebody took a picture of me FaceTiming them on the ice, and that was that's the one thing people don't realize is like you win the Stanley Cup, you celebrate as a team together, which was phenomenal, but the second wave of emotion was when we got off that plane. Mm-hmm. And the families ran into each other's arms, and that was again like people are like, hey, why are you wearing sunglasses, Cooper? Wasn't even that sunny. I'm like, you know why? Because I was like bawling.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You sure you weren't smoking the funny stuff celebrating there, coach?
No, it was I was all good.
Listen, the hockey family is as tight as it gets. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, 3 a.m. wake-up calls, getting to the rink. So as you painted the picture about getting to see your family, the other families, it came across very vividly. Coop, congrats. 8 years on the bench. Stanley Cup champs 2020, the Lightning. Great job, man. And really enjoyed having you on the show. Thanks a lot, John.
Certainly. Congratulations, John.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You guys do a heck of a job. And you know, Rondé wasn't, he said it was going to be awful, but it wasn't all that bad.
Oh, come on. He just got to.
I'm just joking. Tell
him he's got to teach you the good old song since you wore the hat in your prime moment. The good old song
for sure.
From UVA.
He was fired up when we wore it. He's a great guy, and it's awesome to be with you, too. Thanks.
Likewise.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.